Why do the Lutheran confessions quote the ancient church fathers? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column, Why We Bother with the Fathers, in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Professor Adam Kuntz details his journey from the Book of Common Prayer to the Book of Concord. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
When Trump supports something that doesn't align with Scripture, that's not great, but he doesn't try to twist Scripture to justify himself. The actual danger with Trump comes in when Christians do that for him.
Young Americans who are agitating for socialism or for Marxism-Leninism are blithering fools.
The reason why all of society needs to have an interest in marriage is because it has an interest in children.
So when you have modern-day preachers preaching the idea that you can accept Christ, this is foolishness. We don't accept, we receive.
Military families in Asia love Issues Etc.
Issues Etc.
This was before the big move for trans acceptance. It was before SOGI laws. It was before the assault on religious freedom had begun in earnest. It was before Obergefell. It was before a lot of things. There were a few very brilliant, very smart, forward-thinking Christian people who saw something coming, not everything, but something coming as an assault on marriage, family, children. Progressive Christianity poo-pooed their concerns. They even wrote a document in response to this document produced called the Manhattan Project that refuted it point for point. They were called chicken littles, that they were sounding the alarm or yelling fire in a crowded theater. Well, now we have all these laws, anti-bigotry laws, hate crime laws, that in some ways are tailor-made to advance the progressive agenda and to silence Christian opposition to the anti-child, anti-family agenda of the sexual revolution. Back then, it was the Manhattan Declaration. Well, it's been 10 years since that was written and signed. We're going to reflect on those 10 years. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Jonathan Lang joins us to talk about the 10th anniversary of this statement endorsed by Christian leaders on the sanctity of natural marriage and the family. We'll spend some time with Holly Shear discussing New York state laws challenging religious freedom. And then we'll be talking about hymns in Christian devotion. Pastor Timothy Shoup will join us, author of the Issues Etc., Book of the Month for November, Praise and Honor, Hymn-Inspired Devotions. Joining us to talk about the 10-year anniversary of the Manhattan Declaration, Pastor Jonathan Lang. He's pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Evanston, Wyoming, and St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kemmerer, Wyoming. He's leader of the Wyoming Pastors Network and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled 10 Years Later, The Manhattan Declaration's Defense of Marriage is Even More Needed. Jonathan, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me, Todd. Good to talk to you.
In retrospect, how prescient was the Manhattan Declaration?
Well, the Manhattan Declaration was talking about things to come long before they were on the radar of many people, things like polyamory, for instance. And for that reason, it took a lot of hits because people thought it was just kind of going to the element of the absurd. But as you know from the experience of the last 10 years, that then became mainstream talk. But on the other hand, there were some things that it doesn't talk about at all that have really taken us by storm, particularly the trans movement. I don't think it even mentions the trans movement, and yet that followed on the heels of Obergefell within a few months. And so it's a kind of a mixed bag.
What was the Manhattan Declaration? What did it say?
So the Manhattan Declaration, as you described in the opening here, was a document that was put together that would be able to be signed and talked about by many different Christian leaders. It does make it a point to say in the opening that it is limited to Christian leaders because they wanted to talk about the Trinity. But what it says is that the sanctity of human life, the sanctity of marriage as a conjugal union between one man and one woman for a lifetime, and the freedom of religion, that these things are rooted in that they are not simply moral issues, but they are really the foundation and the fabric of all society. And furthermore, it wanted to say that the Christian people in particular have every reason not to be driven from the public square to talk about these things, because we have a duty to our neighbors who do not understand these things as well as we do. And so it was at its root, the one sentence that comes out of the Declaration is, it is a personal pledge to keep talking about these things.
How does the Manhattan Declaration highlight the government's dereliction of duty?
Well, it recognizes, first of all, that there is a very public good in marriage, and that it is not simply a religious institution, but it is a public institution, and has been across the board for thousands of years in every culture, every generation. Ours is the first generation to ever try to redefine it. Even in those cultures that were extremely homoerotic, even they did not try to redefine marriage. And so by bringing out the fact that it is a very public institution, and it is for the best social program ever devised, to put it in governmental terms, when the government does not recognize it for what it is, perverts its use, and then does not support marriages that are rightly established by God, they are derelict in their duty to all of society. So it comes out in terms of problems in society, you know, drug use and the falling apart of inner cities. It also comes out in terms of the way that children are treated, both those who are born and also those who are unborn, and the IVF and in vitro fertilization and all of the children right now. There's about a million of them who are in frozen animation. All of these things find at their root the government's inability or unwillingness to support marriage as it was instituted.
So how have the enemies, both legal and cultural, of the natural family and of children attempted to use governmental power to silence Christians on these issues?
Well, there's kind of two sides to it, and one of them is what you might call jamming, and that is the use of language like hate and bigot, those very strong, powerful words that are intended to make us silence ourselves, to, you know, well, I don't want to be that, nobody wants to be that. And so bringing that into vogue, especially through big corporations and social media, that's one of the parts to it. But then the government especially gets pulled into this when once that language becomes kind of widely accepted and in the media, and it's not challenged in the media anymore, then by going town to town, state to state, school to school, and instituting what's called hate crime laws or anti-discrimination ordinances, they're really the same kind of thing. What they do is they insert the language of hatred, bigotry, and discrimination into the law without defining it. And so by using these kinds of wedges, they're able to get a marker into various laws and policies across the land. And then after these policies and laws are passed, then lo and behold, they are reinterpreted to mean whatever language or whatever way that a normal Christian would advocate for marriage, life, and family. This then becomes the very definition of the hate or the discrimination which has been outlawed. Just to give you an example of something that's currently in our headlines, you know, we've got Chick-fil-A has pulled back in some of its corporate giving to a group like Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And the reason that they've done that, of course, is disputed by the announcement, but the LGBT lobby, anyway, is saying because the Fellowship of Christian Athletes is a hate group, it's a bigoting group, and stuff like this is exclusionary. When you actually look at the evidence they bring forward, by looking on the national website of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and seeing there that they have a statement that marriage is a divine institution between a man and a woman, that's it. That's all it takes to be called a hater. And so that's the use of this divisive language applied to something which is just perfectly normal talk. They don't say anything more than that to be called a hater.
Well, then, if we could, let's talk about the government's fundamental duty toward marriage. What is it?
Well, the first thing is to recognize that it is a pre-political reality. That is to say that everybody who ever participated in the formation of any government was already from a marriage and oftentimes involved in a marriage. The government did not invent marriage, but the government's job is to recognize marriage. And once the government recognizes marriage to be a reality, then just as the government does not create life, but it recognizes life when it's there, and its job is to protect that life, so also when it recognizes a marriage, its job is to protect that marriage. Its job is to protect the rights of the child to his married parents. It is to protect the rights of the parents to raise that child that has been given to them by God. That's the fundamental duty that government has towards marriage.
How does marriage, natural marriage, secure the rights of children?
Well, it prevents anybody other than the mother and father from getting in between or getting involved in the raising of the child. And so it prevents a poisoning of the mind in terms of education. And it prevents others from interfering in, say, for instance, the medical welfare of that child. Again, if we think about Alfie Evans from the UK a year ago, the government inserted itself. Actually, it was the healthcare industry that inserted itself between the parents and the child. And even though the parents found the means to treat the child, found a place to treat the child, they were ready to treat the child, the child was actually killed because that trust between parent and child was broken into and it was not protected by the British government. Here again, we saw something else like this in Dallas, and it's happening in others. There's a case currently going on in Minnesota where when the marriage broke apart, in the Minnesota case there was no marriage, suddenly we have one of the parents who is actually trying to transition a minor child, and that is to say to give it carcinogenic drugs that cannot be reversed, eventually, and to poison the child's mind with the transgender ideology, and eventually with irreversible surgeries. So these are ways where just the recognition of parental rights actually keeps the child alive and protected physically, mentally, emotionally, in every way.
Pastor Jonathan Lang is our guest. We're discussing the 10-year anniversary of a statement endorsed by Christian leaders on the sanctity of natural marriage. The Manhattan Declaration, when we come back, no-fault divorce. Why do the Lutheran confessions quote the ancient church fathers? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column, Why We Bother with the Fathers, in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Professor Adam Kuntz details his journey from the Book of Common Prayer to the Book of Concord. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at gracelutheranracine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the 10th anniversary of the Manhattan Declaration Statement. It has been signed by thousands of Christian leaders in support of the sanctity of natural marriage. Pastor Jonathan Lang is our guest. Jonathan, in the mix here is no-fault divorce. It was sold to the nation as a way of keeping the government neutral on marriage and divorce. Did it turn out that way?
No, not at all. The one who brought this up or signed the first no-fault divorce law recognized it before he died and repented, spoke openly of it. What happens with no-fault divorce is that the government says, well, we just, you know, the excuse was we can't figure out who's at fault here, so we're just going to rubber stamp the divorce. Well, what that means is that in every case when a divorce is brought before the court, the full weight and power of government is on the side of the one who wants the marriage the least. That's what no-fault divorce is. And so the person that does not want a divorce, the person who would like some help in working things out, the person who expects the government to hold their betrothed to the marriage vow, they don't get that. And so they are defrauded. They entered into marriage thinking that maybe by getting a certificate from the courthouse, that means the government has an interest in keeping this marriage together, but it turns out not. The rug is jerked out from underneath them when they stand before the judge.
What does the Manhattan Declaration say about children?
Well, it says two things about children. First of all, in the section concerning life, it notes very clearly how the children are at the highest risk when we lose the sanctity of life. It is the children who are suffering most. We mentioned the destruction of embryos in the IVF process. It was one of the prescient things that it saw ahead is the use of frozen embryos for human experiments, and also this terrible thing that's called therapeutic cloning. Therapeutic cloning is where parents are actually given the license to conceive a child in a petri dish in order to cannibalize that child for future medical treatment for the parents. And so that's the first thing it says about life, is that it's always the smallest and the most defenseless who are hurt most by devaluing of the sanctity of human life. Now, the second thing it does is it connects the dots and helps us. It was one of the first things in my life that helped me to start connecting the dots and recognize that it is precisely the stronger the marriage is, the stronger the cooperation is between husband and wife, the more the child benefits. And so it recognizes that the connection between marriage and the life and well-being of the children.
Talk about the Equality Act, kind of fast-forwarding to the present, and what dangers it poses to marriage and children.
Yeah, well, it affects all three of these things. So first of all, it continues to advance the false view of marriage that has absolutely nothing to do with children. And so it continues to undermine the government's ability to recognize marriage for what it is. And in the same time, it inserts itself into the education of children, particularly in our public school systems and in medical things, and medical and psychological treatment. So again, it advances a false narrative directly to our children so that they are confused and brought up wrongly. The second thing it does is it continues to advance an agenda which is contrary to the welfare of embryos. And particularly, I'm talking about the whole area of surrogacy. Once same-sex marriage was affected by the Supreme Court through Obergefell, the very next thing to happen was to say, well, even though Obergefell said that marriage has nothing to do with children, as soon as same-sex marriage was instituted, then, well, wait a second, marriage has everything to do with children, and so if we're going to call a couple married, then they have a right to children. Well, the only way that you can grant a right to a same-sex couple to have children is if you create children and then deliberately break the bond with one or both of the parents. And that's what surrogacy does and continues to, and so the Equality Act continues to hurt children in that way. And then probably the most outrageous thing that the Equality Act does is it just deliberately rolls back all of the protections for religious freedom, the ability of people to stand up and speak on behalf of their neighbors that was given in the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. It would just obliterate that and, again, insert the words of hatred and bigotry and discrimination into law in such a way that you're not even able to stand up on behalf of your neighbor and his children.
You quote Frederica Matthews Green. She writes, "Every generation faces an issue that draws a line between those who will stand up for what is right and those who will just go along. It's only the bravest who take a stand and continue to bear witness even when others mock them and misrepresent them. Only the bravest keep standing when, from a worldly perspective, the cause looks lost. And only the most dedicated people are willing to keep working for change when the struggle is all uphill and they reap nothing but rejection." Why do you quote her? What is she saying that is relevant here?
Well, what she's saying is that she's putting her finger on the issue of our day. And what really troubles me is that everybody in our day is very critical of people in the past who did not stand up and speak to the issue of their day. So we are very critical of the laxity of the German Christians who did not stand up in support of the Jews. We are very critical of people in the early 1800s who did not stand up against slavery. We're very critical of the people in the early 1900s who didn't stand up against, say, for instance, the Armenian genocide. And we could go on and on and on and list all these times when people should have stood up and did not. Frederica Matthews Green is pointing out that in our day, this is the issue to stand on. And our children will judge us.
Finally, why did you sign the Manhattan Declaration?
I signed because I was in agreement. I understood the interconnection between these three things of marriage, life, and religious freedom. And I signed because I wanted to hold myself accountable. I wanted to make a personal pledge that I am not going to be silenced. It is easy to be silenced. I wanted to stand up and be counted and say, I will not be, by God's grace.
Pastor Jonathan Lang is pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Evanston, Wyoming, and St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kemmerer, Wyoming. He's leader of the Wyoming Pastors Network, and he's also author of a column at The Federalist titled 10 Years Later, The Manhattan Declaration's Defense of Marriage is Even More Needed. You can read it for yourself, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Jonathan, thank you.
Thank you, and thanks for giving the time to talk about this.
You'll find Teachings on the Natural Family with Dr. Alan Carlson, Carol Tobias on Planned Parenthood, and the Hippocratic Oath with Wesley Smith on a recording of our 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We'll send you a conference recording and a recording of 15 Advent and Christmas hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir for a year-end tax-deductible contribution of $300 to Issues Etc. Find out more at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support at the end of the year. Holly Shear will join us from The Federalist on the other side of the break. We'll talk about three state laws in New York that are challenging religious freedom. Then Pastor Timothy Shoup joins us for part one of a conversation on hymns in Christian devotion.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
What's coming up on the Word of the Lord Indoors this week? I'm glad you asked. We'll be studying Jesus cleansing the temple, Jesus knows what's in a man, Jesus telling Nicodemus that he has to be born again or born from above, the gospel in a nutshell, John the Baptist exalting Christ. Won't you join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, as we continue our walk through St. John's Gospel on The Word of the Lord Indoors Forever. Listen to our daily verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordindoors.org, thewordindoors.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Atonement Lutheran, Glendale, Arizona. Concordia Lutheran, Geneseo, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Stevensville, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. St. John Lutheran, Port Sanilac, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Long Beach, California. And Trinity Lutheran, San Dimas, California. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.